And welcome to the Steelers Depot live stream here for this Monday, February 5th. I am Alex Kazor. As always, joining me is Dave Bryant from SteelersDepot.com here until 8 p.m. Eastern time to answer as many of your Steelers questions as possible. And Dave, it turned out to be a pretty busy day of coaching news right after we got off the podcast. In true Steelers fashion, a bunch of stuff came in. Frisman Jackson out, a couple assistants, David Corley, quarterback's coach, assistant quarterback coach, and Matt Tomshaw out as well. So a busy day on this Monday.
Yeah, they would wait till right after we got off the podcast there, but we had a pretty good pretty full episode as it was, 2 hours this morning. So
that's my fault. Echo.
Oh, okay, I'm hearing myself. Hello. today I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth. But that'll give us something to talk about on the Wednesday show for sure.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. We'll also have some Shrine Bowl coverage as well from the crew out there in Frisco, Texas this past week. All right, let's go into the chats. And again, Dave and I here until 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'll turn on the site so you guys can actually see it. And we'll go through a couple of the mock drafts up there as well. But feel free to ask a question if you want a guarantee of your question being asked and answered by myself and Dave. You can send a super chat and move to the front of the line. No obligation for that, but we appreciate the super chats all the same. I will post my mock draft. You guys can give your feedback. The first one I've done this draft season as we answer your questions. And just for those wondering, we mentioned the ad-free version on the site yesterday. This is the experience you get from a desktop perspective, laptop perspective, if you go ad-free. So if you want to do that, you can find that on the site. So let's dive on in. Our first comment and question comes from Lumberzack94, who says, "Hey, fellas, with all this talk of gathering an infinity gauntlet of coaches, Bieniemy, Rabel, Munchak, would you guys even think it's a good idea to get that many cooks in the kitchen? I mean, these things always look good on paper, and I think we kind of set ourselves too high. Oh, they're going to go hire all these big-name coaches, and could they hire somebody? Sure, it's possible, but it's not going to be this, you know, dream team of every big-name coach that is out of a job right now. There's always a line between, you know, how many coaches is the right number of coaches. I've tracked it for the last, I think, two seasons, and there's not a super strong correlation between coaching size and team success. I think some of the younger coaches tend to have larger coaching staffs than older, more veteran ones, including Pittsburgh. But it really depends on the people than it does on just pure volume."
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and look, you know, you look back a couple of years with what happened with what was his name? Brian
Flores.
Yeah, Flores and all that kind of came out of the blue last moment there. And obviously, you know, you had Mike Munchak for several years on the staff. I mean, it's understandable. Could something like that still happen in this process? Yeah, I think it's still kind of fluid. But I mean, do we really think that we're going to see in the next several weeks, you know, several of these guys, you know, now that it seems like the rest of these coaching staffs around the league are getting, you know, more finalized. And I would imagine that's probably going to roll into, you know, next week as well too. Heck, the Super Bowl hadn't even taken place, and you got to find out what may or may not happen with a few coaches on those staffs and all like that. But I mean, you would know better, Alex, because you've done the studies. You know, what's a correlation to building out, you know, these super expansive coaching staffs and filling them with, you know, recent head coaches and all like that. I mean, it's not impossible. Would it hurt the team to have an extra coach or two, you know, passing coordinator or something like that? No, I don't think it would, but I would not expect, you know, multiple people to be hired in these kind of non-standard roles for the Steelers, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, with today's news of Corley out and Jackson out and Tomshaw out, which we knew Tomshaw was not going to be back because he was Canada's handpicked
right
assistant. So, but Glenn Thomas leaving as well. I think they're going to hire, obviously they're going to hire a receivers coach. I think they're going to hire some other offensive assistant in some, you know, name, whether that's just assistant or quality control coach or assistant quarterbacks coach. I think they will hire some people, but is it going to be these big names that everyone recognizes? Probably not. They're probably going to be lesser, smaller name, quote unquote, coaches, just because these other coaches, Rabel, Bieniemy, they may find better jobs, more higher paying jobs, where they're going to have more influence and control. Flores was a, you know, one-off situation where he was blackballed by the NFL and had no other opportunity. Tomlin only hired him until he realized, once he realized that there was no other opportunity for Brian Flores. So that was a situation that typically does not repeat itself in this coaching process. So I think they will add some people. I have on screen right now the results of the coaching staff size heading into 2023. The Dolphins has the largest coaching staff. The Jaguars, the second largest. Eagles, Vikings, Panthers. Not a great correlation between success. Some of those teams were good. Some of those teams were not. Smallest coaching staffs, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Bills, the Bengals. Again, bit of a mixed bag overall. So I've yet to really find a super strong correlation between coaching size and team success.
Okay.
All right, so good question there. And John Pennington has a similar one saying, hello, Dave and Alex, now that Eric Bieniemy won't be with Washington, do you guys think the Steelers move too fast, or is there a problem with Eric that we don't know about? So your thoughts kind of more expanded on Eric Bieniemy, and did Pittsburgh choose their OC too quickly?
I mean, I can't speak to if there's some sort of problem with him. I mean, I wouldn't know. I mean, there went a span of a couple of years there, though, where you kind of wondered, why isn't Eric Bieniemy a head coach, right?
Sure, in Kansas City at the peak, yeah.
But obviously that hasn't transpired since then. I was expecting the offensive coordinator search this offseason, and I said as much on the podcast. I think you asked me point blank, you know, am I surprised it was only, you know, three candidates there? And, you know, I overall, my feel was they probably could have been, you know, more thorough or had a longer list of names there. But, you know, on top of it, though, it does feel like after the fact and looking into the rearview mirror at this point that this team had a very specific, narrow kind of focus of what they were trying to do. They wanted, obviously, if you listen to what Mike Tomlin had to say about wanting an offensive coordinator with experience, that's already was going to rule out several, you know, possible candidates. Second, man, it certainly feels like they were trying to match a coordinator to maybe an overall philosophy and their personnel. On top of it. And if indeed that's the case, that you want to be a team that's, you know, has everything built around running the football first and then building passing concepts off of that, be a physical team, and dealing with the personnel that you have now at this point. I mean, obviously of the only three that they interviewed, Arthur Smith, you know, not the surprising hire when it comes to that. So was this is what we want the offense to sort of look like and then match the coordinator up to that. That's what it feels like after the fact. But I mean, in so many words, like you asked me on the podcast, I thought it was and could have been a broader search overall.
Sure. I thought three was a surprisingly small number with only one of them fitting what Pittsburgh said they valued was that experience. And Gerard Johnson did not have that, and Thomas Brown had only a tiny bit of that. But, you know, you could debate this and talk about some of the restrictions on interviewing guys, and they had to play the playoff game, so they didn't have that, you know, wild card weekend off to talk to guys and do virtual interviews. They were preparing for the Bills, and we knew that Smith was going to get on a plane and go to Tampa Bay, interview there, and if he was your guy, then he's your guy, and that's really all that matters. Bieniemy, I haven't done a ton of research on. There have been some criticisms of him not running the ball super effectively or being committed to the run, which of course does not jive in Pittsburgh, and there's been some talk about off-field stuff that kind of hurt him for a head coaching possibility back, I think, a decade plus ago, so I don't know for sure, but Bieniemy was not a guy I was clamoring for this team to hire in this process. All right, Mike Adesso, our friend Mike Adesso says, I'm Danny Smith's second biggest fan. That's right, because I'm number one. But he's getting older. It's got to be time to hire an understudy. How in the heck does he not have an assistant that focuses solely on teams? It boggles the mind. A fair critique. And you do wonder if that's going to happen at some point. I don't know how much longer Danny Smith intends on coaching. Maybe just forever. But He is, I just, on that coaching study I just referenced, he is, Pittsburgh has been the only team to have one special teams coordinator with that in his title. He has assistants that help out, but every other team has at least two people that have special teams in their job description. Pittsburgh, the only exception to that, and has been for a couple of years. So I don't know what their plan is. I assume maybe there's been communication from Danny Smith to Tomlin about his future and how he thinks, how much longer he thinks he's going to coach for. But it's a fair question, Mike.
Yeah, and I guess if you were going to expand the staff out and add, you know, certain assistants and all, that's one area you could definitely do it. But, you know, will it happen? It doesn't feel like it, but we've learned over the last couple of years to say, well, it looks like the coaching staff is finalized, and then 2 weeks later or 4 days later, something else happens. I mean, here we are already just today, you know, finding out about Frisman Jackson and all like that. So and you'd imagine Mike Tomlin and them just getting home from the Senior Bowl this past week. So, you know, we'll see in the next, I guess, week to 10 days. You would think, though, you know, by the time this team gets to the combine, it would probably be finalized. But I guess there's no rules that prohibit you from adding after the fact.
And I think occasionally they have. I think guys like Corley and maybe Isaac Williams came in really late in the process. So it's hard to – I mean, do you think any other coaches will be parted with, or do you think today's wave of news is the – wave of news of who's leaving the staff?
I wouldn't even begin to take a stand on one side, because like I said, in the past we've thought, oh, it looks like it's finalized, only to have it not be. So I've got, you know, obviously no inside information on that, so I would just be guessing, and I wouldn't be doing anybody any good in doing that.
Okay, I think it's likely to be more settled than not, unless somebody were to leave for a job. But in terms of a parting of the ways, I think this was probably the news dump of the day. But there's going to be a ton of hires. Again, offensive assistant, assistant quarterbacks coach, maybe some other, you know, person that comes in, quality control coach, defensively, assistant DBs coach. They're almost certainly going to add one of those at some point here. So you're going to have, again, it may not all be big names. I wouldn't anticipate this all-star, you know, A team that comes in, but there should be at least 3-4 hires down the road here. All right, our David O is here, says, here we go. Thank you for being here. If you guys could also like the stream, forgot to mention, if you guys could like the stream, bring in as many Steeler fans as possible, would really appreciate that. We'll get to our next question here from our own David O, who says, who other than Hines Ward would be a good wide receiver coach hire? Glad you asked that question for the morning.
You got a post coming on that, don't you?
Six people that make sense, and who knows? It could be anybody, obviously, but I think six names that you could reasonably argue Hines Ward will be on that list. Our Ross McCorkle wrote about him this morning, an obvious name. I know that, you know, sometimes it's kind of easy to do that dot connecting, and do you sit there and say, is it too easy to just say, oh, Hines Ward becomes your coach? But it seems like a legitimately good fit for what this team needs right now.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I didn't think so as much, but the further you get away from, you know, his playing career, and obviously the more experience he's had, coaching in the spring leagues and all like that. Didn't he spend time most recently on was it the Jets staff and all? And just from the sheer fact that, you know, I with the way that wide receiver room might shake out later this offseason, if they don't have, you know, let's say an Allen Robinson is cut, which we think will happen, if they don't go out and bring in another, you know, veteran presence in that room, it would be nice to have someone who's played the game and understands the culture. And look, this is shaping up to be a 2024 Steelers team where blocking is going to be it's always important from the wide receiver position, but even more emphasized if you roll back to that video that Arthur Smith did with the North Carolina State coaching staff and all like that. And, you know, none better than Hines Ward when it came to being a blocking receiver, and can obviously help set that culture. I don't know if Hines Ward really brings you a super qualified, you know, kind of tech, you know, obviously he played the position and all, but, you know, as far as a teaching aspect and a highly technical aspect. Is he to that point yet? Maybe as a coach. I mean, once again, he obviously played the position, and knows what's expected out of the position. Yeah, I think he's probably conducted enough drills over the years and paid his dues with the Jets and got to go through that process. So once again, a couple of years ago, not so much thinking that he might be a good candidate for it, but now that he's gotten cut his teeth, like I said, in the spring leagues and spent time with the Jets. I don't think there would be harm in going that way if that's ultimately the way that they went in.
And if he was hired by Pittsburgh, it would technically be the second time he has been, because he was an intern in 2017. I still remember him working with Juju individually before practice, after practice, really going over things. And it was just, I think, for that summer, that training camp, he was with the team. But
And obviously you don't have anybody on the team now that was, like Ben a couple of years ago that still kind of had, connections to it. He's far enough removed from his playing days in Pittsburgh where if you were going to do it now, or any time moving forward, it would make a lot more sense.
Sure. Now would be the time. He's worn different hats. He's been head coach. He's been assistant coach. He was at FIU, I think, for a year or two and did some coaching there. So he's been in the college ranks, pro ranks, spring ball ranks. And if you believe the report or something that came out a while back, that in 2018, Hinesworth almost became the wide receivers coach. And there was an issue with him, Antonio Brown, and Tomlin kind of letting Brown get away with things, and Ward kind of pulled out of the process. They go to Darrell Drake. So at some point, Tomlin reportedly strongly considered Hines Ward for the job.
And look, it did not hurt my feelings to hear that news about Frisman. I think you had asked me, right after the season, were there a couple of coaches that I, wouldn't hurt my feelings to maybe see changed out? And I believe I said Frisman was one of those. So I think they could use some fresh blood in there as far as the wide receiver room and a position coach goes.
I do wonder if they're going to go for maybe a more experienced, older coach, the way that they hired, Richard Mann and Darrell Drake. Will they look for that? Is that almost veteran presence in that room that's kind of been chaotic, it feels like? It's hard to say. But that's kind of where I think they're going to go. And I have a couple names tomorrow that maybe aren't, they're not 70 years old, but there's some guys that have been coaching football for, a decade plus that makes some sense.
Okay.
All right. So good question there. And check out the article in the morning. Thomas says, isn't it important for the new OC to choose his own staff? I think it gets a little overstated, especially in Pittsburgh. There's not a lot of precedent there, but I mean, Pittsburgh, they don't fire people mid-contract very often because they don't want to pay that money out in part. So a new OC just can't come in and say, okay, fire him and eat that money, Art Rooney, and I'll go hire this guy and this guy. So yeah, usually, when Canada got promoted, he brought in one guy. He brought in Matt Thomshaw to be his quality control coach assistant. So there is some sway, probably. There's probably some maybe discussion when you're building the staff when they're going to hire a receivers coach, somebody that's going to fit what Arthur Smith wants to do. But I don't think Arthur Smith is handpicking his coaching staff and giving them a list and saying, okay, go hire these five guys.
I would agree. Now, might he make some suggestions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's possible for sure. But I don't think you just let him shop for his own groceries when it comes to that.
Sure. Will Sumner says, do you guys see the team addressing the slot position in the draft or free agency? I know Smith's offense doesn't use it that much, if at all, so I assume you're referring to slot receiver. There's a question there about who those guys are going to be, but you had the article, I think, yesterday, Dave, that the number three receiver doesn't see much action in this offense. So could they? Yes. Will it be a significant investment? Unlikely.
Right. And look, prior to the hiring of Arthur Smith, I was thinking to myself, man, this team might do something in free agency with kind of a mid-level a name at wide receiver, especially if they part ways with Allen Robinson. And look, I mean, they didn't draft a wide receiver last year. Could they even draft two wide receivers this year? But since the hiring of Arthur Smith, man, I've not only hit the brakes, I've put it in reverse a little bit when it comes to that, especially when you look at the things that we think that we're going to see out of this offense. You know, a lot more heavier personnel. And I wrote the article about, man, you know, the third targeted receiver in Arthur Smith's offense the last 5 years just really hasn't gotten much action or much even snap totals at all. I don't think there was there one that even had over 400 snaps in a season. If there was, it was only one of them. I can't remember, but I know the average was of those five players over the last 5 years was closer to 300 than it was 400, I think. But if they go out and get any wide receiver in free agency, it's not, I don't think it's going to be a name that anybody's throwing a parade about. I don't think it's going to be a very expensive person. It might be somebody that can play maybe some slot or really, you know, all three positions, if you will. But I don't think it's going to be anybody that people are going to get super excited about overall. On top of that, though, I do think there's a chance, and Alex and I talked about this morning on the podcast, that you could still see this team address the wide receiver position in the draft. Maybe anywhere from, let's say, the fourth round and on would make a lot of sense. Maybe you get a guy, you know, that's got some position flexibility, that has some upside to him, that, you know, who knows, maybe could potentially take over the X or the Z position, you know, should Deontay Johnson leave next season. But long story short, since the hiring of Arthur Smith, I wouldn't expect anything to, you know, spectacular to happen when it comes to draft or free agency additions in that wide receiver room.
Sure, receiver's still a need. You know, the depth is still pretty thin, and Deontay Johnson's going to enter the last year of his deal in 2024, but the actual true slot role is going to be diminished. And yeah, you can do twin receiver sets, and you can, you know, go in heavy personnel and be an empty and put guys in the slot, but that like 11 personnel, three receiver base that's been Pittsburgh's base as it is for most of the NFL is less likely to be a thing than it ever has before. So I still expect them to add a receiver in some respect, maybe even two, a draft pick, free agent, but it's not the priority. That true slot receiver, 11 personnel guy is not as big of a need as I thought it was before the Arthur Smith hire. All right, we got 142 people here in the chat, so appreciate the really strong turnout here on this Monday. Again, if you guys could like this button, like the video and the stream, subscribe to the channel and check out the site on screen right now. Steelers Depot would appreciate that. Next question comes from Carl Ward, who says, let's be real. Steelers have to take a quarterback with high upside in the draft. Chances of them taking a real look at Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Well, I saw him at the Senior Bowl, so that was one up close and personal opportunity for them. Just watch those pro days, Carl. We'll see if they're there. If they're at the pro days, it's high alert. If not, then you can probably pass on the idea.
Yeah, that's going to be telling, and especially with a couple of those guys out west like that on top of it. Now, here's the thing. If they go out to Oregon, though, there's another offensive lineman out there. Are we going to be able to differentiate, you know, who they're actually there to see? You know, and I know Arthur Smith gave that short interview to Missy Matthews the other day, and, you know, talked about Kenny Pickett. My feeling coming out of this season and everything that Mike Tomlin has said and the little bit that Arthur Smith has said and kind of putting two and two together with what Art Rooney II said after the season, It really feels like this team's going to be all in one more season on Kenny Pickett, and see obviously if they can maybe re-sign Mason Rudolph or somebody else, a veteran type, to back him up if they can't, and because they to me it feels like they want to find out what they have in Kenny Pickett or don't have in Kenny Pickett in 2024, and then move on from there. So I'm not saying that it's impossible. I mean, it would not hurt my feelings if this team in, let's say, round six or round seven drafted a quarterback at the very least to maybe see if you could get somebody to groom to be a backup moving forward here. But I would – from where I sit right now, and obviously we'll get a better idea maybe as we move on into the combine and the pro days and all like that, I'll be very surprised if they spend one of their first four, one draft pick out of the first, four rounds on a quarterback, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. I think the odds are low based on all that they've said so far. But you're right. I mean, they could go to that Oregon Pro Day for Jackson Powers Johnson.
Right.
And they'll probably do a Pro Day dinner with him and Bo Nix, because Tomlin usually just takes out multiple people and teammates. And so that'll probably become a story. But we'll see. But I think the odds, drafting a quarterback late, sure, there's a decent chance of that. But first two rounds, no, highly unlikely. All right, I got a couple of pro Arthur Smith comments I wanted to get to. It was OMG Reptar who said Arthur Smith is one of my favorite coaching hires since I've been watching this team since 2001. I think he's going to be really strong for us. And Ryan said, I'm in Tennessee and I'm okay with the Arthur Smith hire. He did good things here. So a couple of positive comments, optimistic comments on Arthur Smith.
Well, look, I mean, that's certainly understandable, especially when you look at what the personnel this team has right now on the offensive side of football. And if you roll back to what he did in Tennessee those 2 years, now it obviously did not hurt having a guy like Derrick Henry there. And, you got a Ryan Tannehill that wasn't over the hill, that had a lot of experience at that time. You can definitely understand why Arthur Smith got a head coaching job coming out of those two seasons right there. Alex and I both went deep into that. What would you call that? A coach's clinic, I guess, that he gave with North Carolina coaches and all right after, I think right after he got hired with Atlanta there. It feels, at least from where we sit right now, and I think Alex would agree, it feels like we have a good grasp on what Arthur Smith's going to try to accomplish in Pittsburgh. And assuming that's the case, especially when it comes to the ground game and building play pass off of that, and talked about some of the mobility factors with the quarterback, that's all fine and good. If he's able to establish everything that we believe kind of his core beliefs are, and that goes on, with play action and everything along those lines, there is still going to be a question about the quarterback play. Can the quarterback play elevate enough on top of the things that he wants to do good in Pittsburgh to make this thing work? And, we talked to Aaron Freeman, who covers the Falcons, this morning on the podcast, and it wasn't surprising to hear him say one of the key, I guess, concerns really overall with Arthur Smith over the last 5 years is how is this team going to produce explosive passing or explosive plays through the air? Now, the last three seasons in Atlanta were not great when it came to explosive passing plays. Them and the Steelers were in the bottom five of the league when it came to explosive passing plays combined from these last three seasons. You go back to the two seasons in Tennessee, though, they were much better. They were ranked in the middle of, I think, 15th or 16th overall when it came to that. If this Steeler offense can run the football better, be a top 10 rushing team in some of these metrics like expected points added and success rate, if they can establish that, and if they can get this offense in the top 15 even of explosive passing plays, that should be enough to win some games, especially if they're able to punch the ball in when they get down in the red zone. So I mean, when you look at on paper what Arthur Smith has done and tries to do, and you look at the Steelers personnel and what we believe the personnel might be after the draft with maybe another offensive lineman or two coming in, on paper it looks like it could potentially work, but there's still going to be an element of, will the quarterback play elevate enough with Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, or whoever ends up being, because You still have to be able to produce explosive plays. You're still going to have instances when you're in third and long and you need a quarterback to convert. You don't need to turn the football over and those kind of things there. So you can understand overall after the fact why they went the direction that they did with Arthur Smith. But I think the real overarching question moving into 2024 is can the quarterback play elevate and build off of what he wants to do on the running in the running game.
Sure, if that can't happen, nothing else really matters. But I do think while they're not going to be this top 10 explosive play offense, you're going to see more big plays off play action over the middle of the field, and hopefully some more yak opportunities to create those big plays. That's kind of how he builds out his big plays. Is that play action, a lot of those dig routes and in cuts and glances and crossers, and allowing his receivers to do damage post catch.
Somebody has in here, bring back the mustache, Arthur. Absolutely. Get that thing going. That he had a very, I'm showing my age here, had that Phil Garner late 70s vibe to him. I think he should grow that mustache back as well.
And who could forget Phil Garner? Let us know in the chat if you get that reference, because I do not.
Scrap iron, yeah. Scrap iron Garner. So somebody in the chat's got to remember that.
Somebody knows. Not me, that's for sure. All right, let's see what else we have here. Skeeter Jones says, should we take a flyer on Jordan Travis? That's the quarterback from Florida State. See what the medical is for him. I'm not a fan of the mid-round, late-round quarterback. Could they do it? They could. It's just not my cup of tea to take that mid-round, late-round quarterback.
I mean, could they? Absolutely, they could. I mean, we'll obviously see as we get into the draft process, and all, you would think that if they had their eyes on a guy like that, once again, you know, somebody's going to show up at that pro day, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Leonardo says Brazil with three heart emojis. Yeah, there's a chance Pittsburgh could play in Brazil. The Eagles will be the host team in week one, a Friday game. So Pittsburgh is scheduled to be on the road at Philadelphia this year. So there's a chance. We'll find out. I think on Friday they're going to let us know. I believe it's Friday. Ross McCorkle said Friday. I'll double check that. But hopefully no sooner than later with the status and the opponent the Eagles will be playing in that week one game in Brazil.
I sure didn't get, you know, Art Rooney II talked to Rob King on Steelers.com a couple of weeks ago and talked about international games and all like that. I didn't get the feel like they were going to play one. I mean, obviously, we know none of the overseas games mm-hmm. are going to be that. So, but I... the general sense, my takeaway was that it's not going to be this year, even with that one game in Brazil overhanging. And you know, could it be? I mean, there's only so many teams that the Eagles are set to host. You know, obviously this coming year, but this would make 2 years in a row that the Steelers would open up against an NFC team if they were chosen. Not that there's any rules against that. It just doesn't feel like the Steelers are going to be chosen to be that team, but we'll see here sooner. What'd you say, Friday?
Ross had said Friday. I'll have to double check that. I may have misinterpreted that before we got on the live stream here. Who is the NFL? I think last year assigned different countries to each team as their kind of international sponsor, so to speak. I can't remember where Pittsburgh's was. I thought maybe it was Brazil, but I'd have to go back and check that.
No, I had that in that article. I thought the other day that I wrote up on him, it was.
Was it Ireland?
Mexico. The NFL announced a few years ago that the marketing rights for that country would belong in part to the Steelers. So that's okay. One of them, and I think Ireland was the other one that they announced almost a year ago, wasn't it? Yeah, they said last May the NFL awarded the Steelers marketing rights for Ireland and Northern Ireland, okay. And that was on top of Mexico, I think, the year before that. So I think the marketing rights are now internationally would be for Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Mexico for the Steelers.
Okay, we should see who has Brazil. Maybe the Eagles have Brazil. I don't know. But if an Eagles opponent that's going to be on the road against them have Brazil, that would make sense to schedule that. So I may want to check that out to maybe have a better idea who that opponent could be. All right, next question comes from Jay, who says, do you think they can get the punter from Iowa in the sixth round? That's Torrey Taylor. It's hard to gauge where a punter's going to go. I don't think Taylor's going to be a super late, you know, seventh round type pick. So maybe, but punters can go earlier than that too. And Pittsburgh without that fifth round pick might kind of be in that gray area. So we shall see, Jay.
I got enough homework to do with positional players. I don't know if I'm going to get to too many punters this year, Alex. I'll let
you handle
back. That one.
Yeah, I got your back on that. Allie Howard, species 5618 is here, and so we say hello to him. Demon Brown, I don't know how to pronounce that. I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly. Does anyone know if we're keeping Faulkner? That's Eddie Faulkner. His title has been updated on the team site, the interim offensive coordinator tag has been taken off with Arthur Smith's hire, and now it just says running backs coach. And so, you know, could he go for another job if something came up? I guess that's possible. I'll assume he's staying until I'm told otherwise.
I would agree.
So we'll let you know, but hopefully he stays. He's a quality coach. Matt Smith, you think the Steelers went into the hiring process with the belief that Pickett's ceiling is average, is slightly above average, and look for an OC who has proven success with a quarterback of that level? I don't think that was their thought process. I think they wanted experience, somebody that had a coordinator background. They weren't learning on the job. And maybe more to your point, they wanted a coach that has turned around a quarterback's career before, the way that Smith did it with Ryan Tannehill in 2019 and 2020. So that probably was attractive. But I don't think they're saying Pickett is an average quarterback. Let's go find a coach for him. They wanted somebody with a track record of working with a quarterback and developing a quarterback that had experience, and Smith fit both those, you know, qualifications or both those criteria.
However they looked at it, they had to look at it like, we got to find out everything that we need to know about Kenny Pickett in 2024.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Tag the Shooter, I believe that's our Tim Rice, is talking about the Steelers OC search. I think they did a broad search. Don't think they needed to bring them in. They eliminated by watching tape or a phone call. COVID has shown us we can do a lot of meetings and interviews virtually. Yeah, fair point. We don't know their entire process. I'm sure there were some guys vetted behind the scenes, and maybe there were back channel conversations, so it is hard to say. We just know they interviewed those three people, Gerard Johnson, Thomas Brown, and Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and unless official word leaks out, you know, and I know there was that Zach Robinson report to some degree. How serious was that? You know,
I assume serious. It just, he was a busy man, and he got hired before Pittsburgh could talk to him.
Right, right. So, I mean, a lot of times we're at the mercy of what officially gets reported, and especially when it comes to the team, you know, and there was only the three names obviously announced when it comes to the team.
David Kapoor, so glad to catch another live stream. We're happy to have you, David. Was wondering the other day when listening to the podcast, what is the start date for each new podcast season? That is the start of camp, basically, right, Dave?
I think so, but I every year I have to go Google my own site to figure out when officially that is. And I think even maybe last year, maybe we went one episode longer than we should. I don't remember. I don't sit here and have that written down on the calendar, but I think Alex is right. But every year I have to Google myself to say, when is officially episode one of the new season? Sorry about that.
No, it's usually
I should know that. But
I should too at this point. Usually we just kind of sit there before an episode and go, hey, is this a new season? Are we doing a new season? And we're like, oh yeah, I guess it is. That's literally, I think, how we have those conversations there. Got a $5 super chat from Daryl Klein, who says, the best Steelers content out there on the free agency and the draft. Continue to keep Steelers Nation entertained on the podcast. So thank you, Daryl. Appreciate the super chat.
Thank you.
Tim Rice also says he doesn't think Hines Ward's a good fit for the league anymore, or for maybe the team anymore. Things Hines did, you can't do no more. Yeah, but I mean, if you're a good teacher and you can, you know, develop guys and have that mentality of run blocking and effort, those things are attractive. So yeah, you can't crack back block somebody anymore. But I think Hines was more than just that element of his game.
Yeah, Hines just didn't do those kind of blocks. He was he was not afraid to just stock block or any of that. You know, he was an effective all around blocker. It's just that most of the highlights that you see with him are some of those you know, ones that aren't legal anymore. But I mean, as far as effort and want to, regardless of the style, you know, legal or now illegal on some of those things, he was willing to do that. And you know, the cult, you know, he obviously has the culture aspect of it. I don't know how good of a teacher he is. I can't answer that aspect of it, but I think he's a guy at least that needs to be considered at this point in his career.
Yeah, I think so, and rightfully so. It wouldn't just be Steelers connection, it'd be a legitimate, worthwhile hire. Steeler Wade Show's here in the chat, so appreciate you being here and everybody else. 168 people in the chat. If you guys
That's a lot of numbers for this time of year.
Yeah, if you guys could like the stream, subscribe to the channel, and check out the site on screen, SteelersDepot.com. Would appreciate that. Let me find where we left off. Who do you like the most, Frazier or Jackson Powers Johnson? I'm still working on my tape study and notes. I would lean Jackson Powers Johnson right now. Is that where you're going, Dave?
Yeah, from what I've seen, I want to sit down and really watch, you know, another, you know, couple of games on both those guys and watch the cut ups. Obviously, Frazier wasn't a full participant at the Senior Bowl, but what Jackson did at the Senior Bowl certainly was impressive in the drill aspect of it, for sure. I suppose that's why he decided to say, I'll see you guys later and not hang around, because I think he bolstered his stock enough just in the practices alone that there was no reason for him to hang around for the game and all like that. So, I mean, he should be the top one or two centers, at least from where I sit right now, off the board, I would think.
I think he's in pole position right now as that front runner. Could that change? It could. It's a solid center class, but I do think he's ahead of Zach Frazier and Brand Granger and the rest of the pack. F32 says, Dave, is your basement flooded with all this rain? I guess you're getting some rain out there in Vegas?
Well, A, you got to remember, this is a desert out here. We don't have basements out here. The ground's too hard. Where we live, rain's not an issue. But, you know, there are certain areas of Las Vegas, because of it not set up to have good drainage and all like that, that when you have rain for a couple of days in a row like we're having now, where it can cause some flooding issues, or really not too far up the road from us as well too, when you get closer to where 215 is up near Rainbow and all like that. I mean, they've had to shut the roads down before because the water overtakes the streets and all like that. So bad timing with the Super Bowl in town, but I think the rain that we're seeing here today, I think it's supposed to push out, and I think the weather for the rest of the week. They even had, I think they said, an avalanche up there in Mount Charleston, up there in one of the Lee Canyon, I think I saw on the internet today. So, but I think this is supposed to push out here, and I think the rest of the week for Super Bowl week is supposed to be nice.
Good, hope it is. Pittsburgh Toddy liked the streams, is number 61, so appreciate that. And everyone who has time for just a couple more questions, we may dip out just a few minutes early today, but check out the podcast that ran about 2 hours that has a lot of information on the latest Steelers news, although again, the coaching departures came after we recorded the podcast. We'll address that on Wednesday's show. Mike Adesso said, great podcast today, guys. I really enjoyed having the Locked On Falcons guy on. Good insight. Would be cool to have more guests this offseason from other teams if possible. Yeah, we'll consider it and maybe branch out a little bit more, Mike. Gary says, Dave, we need a mock draft once a week from you. Let's go. Gary, very demanding.
You're going to be holding your breath a little bit there. Look, I don't like doing them as much as I used to do them. I will try to have a couple, and usually the first one that I do ends up being my best one, or the closest. I don't want to say best, but the one that's the closest, because when I do these things, and it's the way I've always done them over the years on Depot, I think I used to do like three or four, or even I think the most that I've done in an off season was five. But you know, my responsibilities now day to day and trying to oversee the back end of stuff and getting people paid and that kind of thing, I've moved to kind of different developmental role when it comes to Depot overall. football and all like that. Now, I will do at least, you know, one, maybe two of these things. But over the years, my methodology on doing these things is more along the lines of and always really has been of what I think the Steelers will do, not what I want them to do. And there's a fine line in between that. And really, you don't get you get a lot of names kind of coming out of the chute, especially when you look back at things of Alex Cazor's, what the Steelers look for studies and those kind of things. But I gotta be truthful. It's not really until pro days,
right?
When we get hard and heavy into the pro day list of who went where, and then on top of that, you get into the pre-draft visitors, mm-hmm. and all like that. That's really when you're able to draw bigger correlation, and obviously seeing what the team does in free agency to see the holes that they filled that way. If you want to start developing a good cheat sheet of what you think the Steelers are going to do in the draft, having the components of free agents, the bulk of free agency finished, which usually is about 2.5 to 3 weeks in, you know, 2 weeks into that process, and then obviously the pro days and the pre-draft visitors. Once you have kind of those, you know, in mind, it helps you build a lot better cheat sheet as to, you know, and obviously doing this for several years and what they look for, those right. kind of things. It makes it a lot easier to put a mock draft together, specifically when you're looking at building one of what you think the Steelers are going to do.
Still chasing that. What was it? Marcus Gilbert, Curtis Brown.
Oh, yeah, I'll never have another one.
This past year, you're pretty good.
Yeah, I think the closest I've ever come to that was this past year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it helps to be lucky sometimes as well too, like I was back in that year.
$5 super chat from Josh Miller, maybe the former Steelers punter. We never know. Forgive me if I miss a discussion about this, but there's no way we let Deontay play out his current deal in 24, right? Extend or possibly trade. You know, we've not talked about that much. Could they extend Deontay Johnson? I don't get the feeling they will, but it's early out, and you know, it's possible, I guess.
I mean, I think it's I've learned over the years in certain areas not to speak in absolutes. I would be surprised if they did that. But I don't think it's impossible, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. Look, if you look at the situation with that wide receiver room and you start, we've already talked at the top of this thing and in the podcast of, we already don't think there's going to be a sexy name coming in free agency. Going to be a lower level guy if any there, and if they don't draft one in, let's say, the first three rounds, you're going to be for, even though this class is and really every class I think moving forward right now is going to be a fairly deep wide receiver right. class overall there. Can you? You know, what is the overarching feeling of this team coming out of free agency and the draft when it comes to somebody that you could say, all right, well, Deontay's leaving after the 2024 season. This is the guy on the roster that's going to take over there. And I don't think that, I mean, from where you sit right now, you kind of question if that's going to be the case. So could they get into a situation once they get into training camp where they consider maybe extending Deontay? I suppose it's possible.
What's his value though? I don't know how to peg it with the injury,
right.
And I just don't know where to even begin on a number.
And well, I wouldn't think he'd want to go backwards.
No, I don't think so.
You know, when it comes to that, and you know, I think you could handle the guaranteed money aspect of it pretty similar to the way they did last time. What is his, let me pull up his numbers here overall. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's $18.355 million. How much would he be willing to come off of his own average yearly value right now to sign a deal that probably is only going to fully guarantee this year's money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, would he be willing to sign a deal for, $2 million less than that, you know, average yearly value is probably unlikely.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Because he's probably looking at it himself as being, I think I can have a better year in 2024 and help my cause. And on the flip side, are the Steelers going to say, all right, you're worth $18.33355 million now. We think that you're worth $20 million, and let's build a deal off of that. That's what leads you to believe that that's not going to happen. Here's something to remember within all this. You had the franchise tag as your weapon after the season. So let's say you don't get a deal done with Deontay this offseason. And quite honestly, I would be surprised if they did. But Deontay goes out and has, you know, 1,000-yard season, you know, 8 touchdowns, 80 receptions, whatever, you know, along those lines. Could you get in a situation where, oh man, that was a damn good season, we hate to lose him, there's nobody ready to pick up the flag after him there, might they consider franchise tagging him a year from now? So I think that's a potential there. But no, I would be surprised if they did extend him this offseason.
Trading, though, I think is off the table. They need weapons. They need this pass game to work. They need Pickett, if he's a starter, to play well. They're not going to, you know, shed a weapon without presumably adding anything significantly, you know, in the process. So extend or sit is kind of the approach with Deontay Johnson. All right, let's go through a couple questions rapid fire. I got another very generous super chat, though, from Tony Anderson, a $20 super chat. So thank you so much for that. It has a comment above that that says, the best Steeler podcast, period. Been listening to you for 6 years. Love the long podcast. So thank you, Tony. Really, really appreciate that.
Boy, I don't think my wife's listened to me for the last 6 years.
Oh, goodness. Thank you, guys, and really appreciate the support on tonight's stream. Couple more questions. I'll look back through, and we'll try to get maybe some new people we have not heard from yet. Our friend, though, Quality Colas, says, just jumping into the live stream, great Monday podcast with the Locked On Falcons host. We thank Aaron Freeman for his time. He loves the 2-hour podcasts.
All right.
What else do we have here? Jay, why is Calvin Austin III not in the convo about slot receiver? He is. He's there. It's just he may not be a substantial part of that offense because they're not a heavy 11 personnel team under Arthur Smith.
Yeah, look, now, will they be in 11 personnel at some point during the season? Absolutely, they will be. Hopefully, that's not playing from way behind, if you will. But even so, once again, I, and barring injuries to Deontay and George Pickens, it's just hard to imagine, especially with the size of Calvin Austin as well, too, and you know can you get – is he a kind of guy that's going to get 300 snaps in this offense if everybody stays healthy? It's hard to imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the great fit for him right now. But he'll be in the mix for sure. He'll be there in camp, and we'll see what he can do and fit in this offense and go from there.
Right.
All right, what else do we have? Mike Adesso said, by the way, that Miami is the team assigned rights to Brazil. I don't know if Miami was one of those 9 teams. We could look here with the power of technology and see if Miami has a road game against the Eagles this year. Don't know if they do. Don't remember seeing the Dolphins' name on here.
That's not on the list of home opponents on the Eagles' schedule this year. It's the Cowboys, Giants, Commanders, Browns, Falcons, Jaguars, Steelers, Packers, and Panthers are the possible teams to be the opponent for the Eagles in Brazil.
Probably won't be the Jaguars because they're always over in like London, right?
Right. So you would think it's them
again. Yeah.
Could it be the Falcons?
That makes sense. I could see that. We'll see. We'll get our answer hopefully sooner than later. Mike also asked about the live mock drafts. Got to do the walk the mock again. Yeah, if they invite me, I'm certainly would love to be back on. So I'm sure we'll do at least one of those live mock drafts later this year, but not anytime soon, not before the combine. That is for sure.
You usually get a huge turnout for that, don't you?
Yeah, it's usually one of our popular events of the year. John Pennington, Dave and Alex, do you think Pat Meyer's blocking scheme fits what this offense wants to do, especially in pass protection? In that clinic, we did not hear much from Arthur Smith about his pass protection philosophy and more the standard dropback shotgun passing game, but nothing I'm aware of that would conflict with what Arthur Smith wants to do and how Pat Meyer teaches things.
Right. You just hope that they can execute a lot better, especially if they're going to go a lot heavier outside zone. Once again, they ran more outside zone on paper, according to the stats, than what I remember. They just weren't overly great at it overall. So I don't think there would be a per se conflict there. Look, make no mistake about it. They need a couple offensive linemen in this draft. You know, they need a center. They could use a tackle as well too. If you upgrade maybe the quality of a couple of those guys on the offensive line, that won't hurt whatever scheme you go heavier on. The historical aspect when it comes to Smith says a lot of outside zone followed by inside zone followed by duo. Could they end up going heavier inside zone and then outside zone and duo? That's obviously possible. And you know, you hope, because of the effectiveness that they had with the gap scheme last year, you'd hope to see some increase in that.
Woods, 23-23. Any news on Holcomb's recovery? I'm guessing it's too early to tell. I think Tomlin made a comment in his year-end presser that things are on schedule, but we really don't have much of an update on Cole Holcomb.
Yeah, and boy, that sure looked nasty.
Yeah,
at the time, and just keep your fingers crossed that he'd be ready for I guess at latest training camp, and we'll have to see about OTAs and all. Right. That might be a little bit early for OTAs, but we'll see.
Avoid pup for camp, and we're good to go. Kenny D, do you all think that Pickett is durable enough, to play on a consistent basis? It seems he is not durable enough. It's a fair critique. He has not stayed healthy, and it's not blaming him. I'm not mad at him. It's out of his control, but he has been consistently injured.
Yeah, fair. It's a fair critique or statement or wonder. Yeah.
I mean, you think he's missed about a third of the games that he's started. He's either missed, or the games he was slated to start, he's either left or gotten hurt or flat out missed about, I think, a third of those contests, if not more. So a backup quarterback, if Rudolph walks, is going to be important just for that aspect alone. So someone had a question about our thoughts on Le'Veon Bell wanting to come back. That's from Brad Smith. It's a nice thought. You know, go give it the old college try. I don't think Pittsburgh will have the interest Le'Veon Bell does to play in Pittsburgh. Any thoughts, Dave, on Bell? You think that's all just...
I'd be surprised if it happens. I mean, I said as much this morning, yeah.
Yeah, me as well. So we're going to wrap things up here. Appreciate you guys joining the live stream. Fantastic turnout tonight. Thank you guys for the super chats, the fantastic questions, you guys liking the stream. I'll have a video later this week, something on Arthur Smith and his offense, and I'll continue to build upon that throughout the offseason. So thank you guys very much. Dave Bryan, as always, thank you for your time and insight tonight.
Yeah, thanks for putting this on. Boy, great turnout tonight. I'm very thankful for that. Surprised. I didn't think we'd have that many people in here tonight. So thank you for everybody that showed up tonight. Alex, thanks for putting these on. And peace and love, everybody. And I think Alex will be the one talking to you maybe a couple weeks from – I think I'll be on my world tour.
You will be on your world tour. So we'll hear from you in a little bit. But thank you guys so much. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to this channel, and check out the site Steelers.